Welcome to Pro Money Talk. I'm Jason Papier.
And I'm Peter Johnson.
To start off today's show, we would like to thank all our listeners for making us the number one personal finance podcast in the world.
It's really amazing that people in over 80 countries have listened to the show, and amazing the feedback that we get, that people are learning about finance, becoming more interested in it, which is an important part of our lives. And I think maybe they never had the chance to be exposed to it in the way that we can do it on a podcast. So we welcome our new listeners too.
Yeah, and thanks for passing on the word. We hope that you will pass on the word. We get lots of email and appreciate the positive comments and negative comments, anything that's constructive, as well as questions. Occasionally, I think on the show from time to time, we'll say thank you to someone in particular for writing in. And on this show, I want to recognize Mary and tell her thank you for the great positive comments that she's left us.
It's always wonderful to hear how people are learning and how they're getting excited from listening to the show.
We have a new feature on the show that allows our listeners to call in and ask a question. As the questions come up, we get them in a computer file and we'll play them on the show and then try and answer the questions on the show. You can also go to our website to leave comments. Our website is promoneytalk.com. You can also go there to leave success stories. Peter, you're going to be highlighting success stories on the show.
We're going to be doing occasional segments, maybe more than occasionally, featuring people who have learned something about money and put it into action in their lives, and they're enjoying the benefits of it. So on our next show, we'll have a little 10-minute segment or so with a young man who really is off on the right foot with saving. He came to me for advice on where to put the money, how to invest it. And when I showed him how much money that could add up to over his lifetime before he retires, he was more than excited by the time he left here. So I learned a few things from him. He learned a few things from me, and we're going to share that with you.
You know, a thought just came to me, Peter. We get a lot of feedback from people writing in who are starting new things, or they have questions, and we can give them simple answers to help them start on a new path or clean up their financial lives. It'd be really neat to see how that affects people's lives. Those would be really nice future success stories to hear how people have achieved success just from listening to the show.
Hey, I'm all for that. In fact, we get really excited when we see the difference that we make in our clients' lives.
Yeah, it's a great feeling. And when listeners write into us and tell us that, it's a really good feeling. And that's kind of what keeps us going, I think.
We have some really exciting podcasts coming up for our listeners. We sometimes record them in advance, and we're editing them and preparing them. So we have a few that have already been recorded. We're just putting the finishing touches on. And at the end of today's show, we'll share with you what some of those upcoming shows are.
Well, let's talk about this show for a minute. In today's show, we are interviewing Jim Skridlak and talking specifically about Roth 401ks.
Jim is a consultant at a few financial planning firms, and he's a very, very bright guy, Stanford MBA. And it was a learning experience, I think, for you, Jason, as you interviewed him.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a very complicated set of bookkeeping rules, and it's already complicated enough for companies to set up plans and to track them, because the government has rules about how many of the highly compensated versus non-highly compensated employees can participate, how much they're putting in. And so it was, they haven't caught on, you know, like wildfire like we thought they would, but General Motors announced a couple of months ago that they were going to institute one. And I understand Vanguard and A.G. Edwards are thinking about setting up plans that companies can use, too. I think with that, let's get into the interview.
Well, hi, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm pleased to be able to join you in providing what I hope is some good financial advice to some folks across the country.
Absolutely. And this is, today we're talking about the new Roth 401k. Our listeners have known about Roth IRAs for a while. We've talked about them in our show off and on. But a Roth 401k is a new instrument. It's a hybrid. First of all, can you tell us how a Roth 401k came to be and why they started this year?
Right. I certainly can. The Roth 401k was created by the Economic Growth and Tax Reform Reconciliation Act EGTRRA, which is pronounced EGTERRA, I believe. It was passed in 2001, which was several years after the Roth IRA was created. The Roth IRA was created in, I don't know, 96, 97, somewhere around in there. Even though EGTERRA was passed in 2001, it specified that the Roth 401k plans would not come into being until January 1st, 2006. The IRS issued final regulations on them on December 30th, 2005, which goes a long way towards explaining why it's difficult to find a Roth Section 401k plan in existence right at the moment.
So this Roth 401k started first became available to people at January 1st this year?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, Roth 401ks, as I said, it's a hybrid. It has some characteristics of a traditional 401k and some characteristics of a Roth IRA. Briefly, can you give us an overview of that?
Absolutely. Most laws and regulations applying to 401ks do apply to them. They do have to be sponsored by an employer, or you can do it yourself if you're self-employed. The difference is that they're funded with after-tax dollars. Unlike conventional Section 401k plans or similar qualified retirement plans to which employees or self-employed individuals can contribute, to which contributions are made with money that is deductible from income for tax purposes, whether you itemize or not. Now, the other side of that is that whereas withdrawals from a conventional Section 401k plan will be taxed as ordinary income, qualified withdrawals from a Roth 401k are tax-free. One thing that they have in common with conventional Section 401k plans is that the basic annual contribution is limited to $15,000 annually, and this limit is increased by $5,000 for a total of $20,000 for any participant who is 50 or more years old. This additional $5,000 is referred to as a catch-up contribution, because the intention is to allow us older folks to catch up for our failure. Not my failure. I've done pretty well in that. But, okay. But many of the earlier baby boomers have not saved adequately when they were young and irresponsible. As the law now stands, the participant may make contributions for calendar years 2006 through 2010. So the Roth IRA has only a five-year life for contributions as the law stands now. Okay, and you may do it regardless of your income. There is no upper income limit on this the way there is for a Roth IRA. You can make contributions to a Roth IRA only if your adjusted income before any contribution to a Roth IRA is less than $160,000 for a married couple filing jointly, or $110,000 for a single filer.
Yeah, and that's been something that's really been one of the major drawbacks to a Roth is that everyone can't contribute. Only people who have certain incomes or under a certain limit can contribute.
Absolutely.
A Roth 401k is a good opportunity for those maybe who, and we'll talk about it later, but for those who could take advantage of a Roth but before couldn't because of their high income, to now take advantage of a Roth.
That's true.
Okay. How do you make contributions to a Roth 401k?
Now, an employer need not offer a Roth 401k plan, but if an employer does offer one, it must also offer a conventional 401k plan. So an employer may offer both, just a conventional 401k plan, or neither. If your employer offers a Roth 401k plan, you may contribute to it. If you're self-employed, you may set up your own Section 401k plan. If you set it up to include a Roth 401k plan, you may contribute to the Roth plan, to the conventional plan, or to both. You can find a directory of companies to assist you in setting up a plan at www.tagdata.com.
Okay, and we'll put that link in the show notes, www.tagdata.com. So if an employer offers a Roth, it'll also be offering a conventional 401k plan. Are there combined limits for the two?
There are.
Okay.
It happens to be equal to the $15,000 limit mentioned earlier,
with
the additional $5,000 catch-up limit for participants who are 50 or more as of December 31st. In other words, if a participant is 45 years old and contributes $10,000 to a conventional 401k plan, she may contribute an additional $5,000 to a Roth 401k plan, but no more than that for a total of $15,000.
Okay. And why would somebody contribute to both?
It might be that she changed jobs during the year, and her employer for the first 8 months of the year offered only a conventional plan, while her employer for the remainder of the year offered both. I mentioned earlier that there weren't very many Roth 401k plans available as of January 1st. In fact, I don't know of any.
Okay.
So it might be that she contributed to a conventional plan until the Roth plan was available and then switched. And one thing to bear in mind here is that many 401k plans involve an employer match.
Yeah.
And it's frequently a match that is capped at some limit. The employer might match 25 cents on the dollar for the first $5,000 of contributions. Well, it's easier to put in $5,000 and get the full match with a conventional 401k because you're doing it with pre-tax dollars than it is with a Roth 401k. With a Roth 401k, it costs you $5,000 after tax. With a conventional one, it may cost you $3,300 after tax.
Okay, so let's take a step back there and examine that situation. So what you're saying is if someone makes $100,000 gross, that's what their paycheck is, $100,000, and they put $5,000 into a traditional IRA, that full $5,000 goes in, and in their paycheck, they may see a difference of, they may be receiving $3,300 less in pay.
Yeah, it will depend on, you know, whether they're married or single and in which state they live and other things. But
because it's before tax, it doesn't have the full $5,000 impact. Yeah. However, in the Roth, if they were to put $5,000 in, they would get $5,000 less in their paycheck because it's post-tax. Okay. So if someone could only afford to lower their income by $3,300, it might make sense if there's an employer match to put the $5,000 in the regular IRA, get the full $5,000 match rather than putting $3,300 into a Roth IRA and only getting $3,300 match.
Absolutely.
Now I understand. Thank you. You just said that you didn't know of any employers who had Roth 401k plans available currently. Are most companies going to offer these? Do you have any idea how many companies are going to offer these?
The Profit Sharing Council of America, and bear in mind that a Section 401k plan is, strictly speaking, a profit sharing plan, did a survey, and the results are available at www.psca.org. 17.4% of the companies that they surveyed said that they had plans to offer them. 35.1% had decided not to offer them. 40.9% were considering it, and the remainder simply had not thought about it at all. To speak of two of the highest profile employers here in Silicon Valley, the best information that I have is that Google will be offering one as of June 1st of this year, but Cisco, which is to the best of my knowledge the largest employer in Santa Clara County, has not yet announced any plans. That doesn't mean they aren't going to do it, but I know several Google employees and they haven't, or excuse me, the Cisco employees, and they haven't announced any plans. I do also know several Google employees, which is how I know that they plan to offer one as of June 1st.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously you don't know why people are offering them or why they aren't or when they will or when they won't. But I imagine since it's so new, it's going to start off slowly. And if there's a lot of interest in it and people are using it and it seems to be a good tool for people, and of course employees want it, more and more companies will probably begin to offer it.
Right. But of course, it costs more to administer two plans. You do have to maintain a separate account for each employee. If you know any employee who has both an existing 401k and a new Roth is going to have two accounts.
That's very interesting. And as you mentioned before, if the company is going to offer a Roth, then they also Roth 401k, then they also have to have a conventional 401k.
They don't have the option of discontinuing
the original 401k.
They can't even discontinue contributions to it, as far as I know.
Okay, so it will cost companies more, and that might be a reason that they don't offer it. And also, I imagine that one of the reasons that people are holding off in general is because of the sunset provision, which we've talked about in other shows regarding that tax code. But it essentially says in 2011 things. It's gone. If there are no extensions or if they don't handle that. Okay. So now we were talking earlier about the employer matching and why it might make sense for someone to use a traditional versus a Roth. And I think we'll probably talk a little bit more about the advantages of a potential advantages of a Roth or who it's best suited for later in the show. But to start with, employer matching contributions. How does an employer match contributions into a Roth, since a Roth is a post-tax IRA?
The employer would could match them in exactly the same way as a conventional 401k, but if the employer does make matching contributions, they will be made to a conventional 401k and not to the Roth. So they will not be taxed to the employee, but they will be fully taxable as ordinary income as withdrawn, the same way that any employee contributions to a conventional 401k plan or any matching contributions to a conventional 401k plan will be.
Okay. So
nothing different there.
Right. So if they're matching, then they're matching it into a regular 401k. So that's another example of when you're going to end up with two accounts. You're contributing to your Roth IRA and your company's contributing to your traditional IRA. Nobody said this was a simple thing.
No, it isn't. This is it's really been a difficult thing for me to analyze. It's something, you know, as a self-employed individual, I've had to concern myself with, and it's not a clear answer in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because this is something that's just come up, and I mean, we are in fact in 2006, and yet it's very difficult to find any information on a Roth 401k because you're not the only one. And in fact, for those listeners, Jim is one of the most analytical and intelligent people in the financial planning industry. And so I think that says something when Jim says that he's having a little bit of a difficulty doing a full analysis and finding what areas are particularly beneficial, what areas are less beneficial. Speaking of that, let's kind of get into the meat of the matter here. What are the benefits of contributing to a Roth 401k plan? Why would, without getting in maybe into a specific case yet, or we can, why would any individual want to do a Roth 401k versus a regular 401k?
The difference, the single essential difference between the two is that in a regular 401k, you get your tax benefit up front. It is a deduction from income. It's a deduction that you get whether you itemize or not. It is a deduction that is not subject, therefore, to the itemized deduction phase-out, which some of us have experienced. And it's frequently kind of a nasty surprise to some people. With a Roth, you get your tax benefit at the end. So if you expect your tax rate to be considerably higher when you withdraw, the Roth will probably be better. You know, your expectation may not match reality. The other thing is that a Roth can allow you to put more money in terms of after-tax equivalent dollars into a tax-sheltered investment. So the kind of person who's going to get the best, the biggest benefit out of it is somebody who expects to be in a higher tax bracket at withdrawal. And in my examples, I'm assuming withdrawal in 2016, but it really, you know, the longer you go, the bigger the dollars will get for both accounts, and has the money to save, you know, the discipline to save the money and the money to save.
Okay. And when we're talking about withdrawal, since this is a Roth IRA, obviously we're talking during retirement.
It's a Roth 401k.
Thank you. Since this is a Roth 401k.
I make that mistake too.
We're talking about during retirement withdrawal. And some of the listeners may say, well, why would my tax bracket be higher in retirement than it is today while I'm earning money? I have some thoughts on that, but I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, the most important reason is that according to the tax law, the tax laws that were passed in 2001 and 2003, the federal income tax bracket is going up. All of the brackets are going up. If you're in a 28% bracket now, which is, you know, married couple with, you know, $150,000 worth of income will be in that bracket, that's going to be a 31% bracket come 2011. Unless the law has changed. If there is no act of Congress, the tax bracket will go up.
Right.
Here in California, we had a proposition pass about a year and a half ago. I think it was passed in November of 2004, took effect January 1st, 2005, said that any taxable income over $1 million is subject to an additional 1% surcharge. So if you look at the Franchise Tax Board's website, it'll say that the maximum tax rate is 9.3%, but there is a 1% surcharge, which means that your real maximum tax bracket is 10.3%. there are petitions for initiatives to install some other tax brackets, raise tax rates on people making $400,000 per year. So there's pressure for higher tax brackets in at least the state of California, possibly in some other states. And federal tax law, as it is written right now, provides for higher tax brackets come 2011.
Well, that's a great point, and I would like to give my opinion, not of what's going to happen in the future, but just that currently the tax rates are pretty low, you know, over the last, say, 20 years or so.
Now, they're the lowest in my lifetime, I believe, and I'm 53. Right.
Okay. I'll also put in my two cents that when I do retirement planning for clients, there's a mistaken feeling a lot of times that they are going to be needing less money in retirement than they need now. And usually when we're doing the budget, we at least make it equal to what they're bringing in now because, well, they have more time to do things. They might not have the same expenses that they have now, but they'll have other expenses. And in practice, people spend at least as much, if they have it, they spend at least as much in retirement as they do while they're working. So I think it's a pretty good guess to say that there might be quite a few listeners who are going to end up in a higher tax bracket in retirement when they're withdrawing from their Roth than they are right now.
Right. And of course, it'll be affected by any move from state to state. You know, California with, you know, nominally a 9.3% tax bracket where anybody who's making a good income is subject to it. That bracket kicks in pretty low, although don't ask me exactly where it does right now, but it's not that high. You know, well, on the other hand, two of the four most populous states, both Texas and Florida, have no personal state income tax. So that's a pretty wide range.
Right. Now, the second advantage, the increased investment in after-tax money available with the Roth 401k. Can you explain that to us? Maybe give us an example so we can put the numbers to the theory here.
Sure. A couple who reside in California with a taxable income of, say, $175,000 before making any contributions to any sort of 401k plan will be facing an overall marginal tax rate of 34.7%. That would consist of a 28% federal tax bracket on the last dollar of their income, 9.3% California tax bracket, and you can reduce the 9.3% by the tax benefit they will get from the deductibility of their California taxes. So something just under 35%. And I'm assuming that they're not subject to either the California or the federal alternative minimum tax, and I'm not, in the interest of relative simplicity, taking any account of itemized deduction phase-outs.
Okay.
Now, what that marginal rate means is that if the wife is 50 by the end of this year, she can contribute $20,000 to a conventional 401k plan at an out-of-pocket cost of $13,061. That's probably spurious precision, but something like $13,000.
Okay.
The proper comparison, therefore, is a Roth contribution of $13,061.
And it's the proper comparison because that is what they would reduce their income by.
Absolutely.
So in a Roth contribution of $13,000.
That's what they would reduce their cash flow by.
Their cash flow, thank you, their take-home money. Right. So that would leave them in the same spot with regards to spending.
So let's say they had the additional $6,900, $7,000 to invest. They have this cash. They're going to invest it somewhere. If they've put the $20,000 in the conventional 401k, they have $13,000 and change in a tax-sheltered account. The remaining $6,900-some, they must put in a non-tax-advantaged account, unless, for example, one of them has some other tax-advantaged account available to them. With the Roth, you can put the whole $20,000 into a tax-advantaged account.
All right.
And that's $20,000 after tax, of course. And my analysis says that advantage, if you live in California or, say, New York or Oregon, both of which have state tax structures very similar to California's from what I can tell, that advantage is worth nearly twice any potential advantage of the Roth over the conventional 401k.
Okay.
In dollars.
So in this particular scenario, Can you give us a number? I mean, how much more does somebody make by, if you will, by maxing out, taking the full amount, putting it into the Roth, rather than maxing out their 401k and taking that extra money and putting it into a taxable account?
Right. The what I'm seeing is that if you put $20,000 in and you earn 9% in each case,
okay,
you're going to end up after taxes with about $3,600 more if you're putting $20,000 into each, plus in the case of putting the $20,000 into the conventional 401k, putting the additional $69,000 to $7,000 into a non-tax advantaged account. That $3,600 breaks out as about $1,200 for the Roth versus the 401k on a $20,000 contribution, plus $2,400 from the ability to get the whole $20,000 into a tax-advantaged account. So if you compare $20,000 in a Roth versus $20,000 in a conventional 401k, the Roth advantage under the scenario I've described, the couple stays in California, the tax bracket for federal purposes goes up by 3 percentage points by the time they withdraw, that advantage is $1,200.
Okay.
If you compare $13,000 in the Roth with $20,000 in the conventional 401k, which costs you $13,000 in cash, you have about a $1,200 advantage for the Roth.
Because of the increase, because of the
change in tax rate.
The change in tax rate.
Assuming that you stay in a 9.3% tax bracket because you stay in California or you move to Oregon or New York where you get about the same tax bracket, and assuming that you stay in the same federal tax bracket, it's going to be about $1,200. But if you compare $20,000 in a Roth with $20,000 after tax, which consists of $13,000 some in the conventional 401k plus $6,900 to $7,000 in a non-tax advantage investment, now the Roth advantage is $3,600.
Okay. So basically a couple who has, let's say, $27,000 that they can save, they can either put $20,000 in a regular traditional IRA and $7,000 in a personal savings account, or they can take that $27,000 and pay the taxes on it and end up putting $20,000 in a Roth. And in that scenario, by paying the taxes on it up front and putting the $20,000 in the Roth, they're going to come out ahead fairly substantially. I mean, percentage-wise, that comes out to...
It's about 8%. 8.3% is the number I get.
Okay. So an 8.3% advantage... simply by using the Roth versus versus a traditional 401k in that scenario.
The only correction I'd make to what you said is that they would not pay taxes on the whole $27,000. They would pay taxes on the $20,000 that they were putting into the Roth. They had $7,000 in cash sitting around on which taxes had already been paid in either case.
Gotcha. Okay, so it looks like in certain scenarios, the Roth 401k certainly makes sense. And something that strikes me as maybe interesting is that we talked earlier about the fact that in a Roth IRA, there are income limits, so people who make a lot of money can't benefit from a Roth IRA. But interestingly enough, with a Roth 401k, it seems that people who maybe make a fair amount of money, in other words, people who make enough money to be able to max out this Roth 401k, come out ahead.
People with enough money and enough discipline and saving to max it out.
you
and I have both seen lots of people here in Silicon Valley who make a lot of money but seem never to have any.
That's right. That's right. That's a very good point. So what are the risks then in with the Roth 401k?
I think that there are two main risks for an investment in a Roth 401k plan as compared with an investment in a conventional 401k plan, and they both have to do with income taxes. The first risk is that the investor's tax rate will turn out to be lower in the rate of in the year of withdrawal than it is now.
Okay.
I've already noted that the brackets for the federal income tax are scheduled to rise by several percentage points in 2011. On the other hand, a couple with both spouses working today may well have one of them decide to stay home with children.
Okay.
Maybe they don't have any children now. Maybe they'll have some children by the time they want to withdraw from it. And when they do that, they're going to forfeit some taxable income, and they might possibly move from what is now a 33% bracket in 2006, federal income tax bracket, which is the second highest bracket, down to the third highest bracket, which will have risen from 28 to 31% in 2011 or later, but they're withdrawing. And still, even though the rates at each bracket have risen by several percentage points, they're
still in a lower bracket.
They're in a lower bracket. Or perhaps both spouses work for, say, Dell or Microsoft in California or New York, and they have a state income tax rate that is 9% plus. But their career paths take them back to corporate headquarters in Texas or Washington, so their nominal state income tax rate drops from 9% or so to zero. Those folks, if both of those things happen, one of them drops out of the workforce, taking half the income, and they move back to move from a relatively high tax state like California or New York to a zero personal income tax state like Texas, Washington, Florida, they could be looking at more than a 10% disadvantage for a Roth 401k as compared with the conventional plan. Mm-hmm. The second risk is a bit more remote, and I don't know how likely this is. I don't want anybody to think that I'm paranoid about this, but not only does the current law provide for contributions to Roth 401k plans only through 2010, I believe that it does not provide for tax-free withdrawals after 2010. Now, a qualified withdrawal, which a withdrawal must in general be to be tax-free, means you have to have two things for a qualified withdrawal. You have to be at least 59 and a half.
All right.
And your first contribution to the Roth plan has to be at least 5 years in the past. Well, by the end of 2010, nobody will have had money in a Roth 401k plan for more than 5 years. So nobody will be able to make a qualified withdrawal during that period. Now, I think that it's likely that the tax-free withdrawal will be extended, but my opinion on that is no better than anybody else's. Also, bear in mind that inaction on Congress's part means that the tax-free withdrawal provision lapses. Congress doesn't have to take action to do it. I mentioned there was about a $1,200 advantage for $20,000 in a conventional 401k plan versus $13,000 or so in a Roth plan. That is just under 4.5%. That's over a 10-year period. So you're looking at less than half a percentage point a year. So you're wagering that against the possibility that Congress may just say, well, guess what? You now have a basis in this of the $13,000 you put in, and we're going to tax all the excess, and maybe it's going to tax it at long-term capital gains rates, but who knows? And whether that risk is worth it, whether the extra return is worth the risk is not something that any planner can answer. I think every investor has to answer that for himself. And it wouldn't have to be the federal government. Suppose, a state government might decide to tax some portion of it.
Sure. Well, and that brings up one of the fundamental issues when we're talking about any sort of investment that has to do with tax advantages, or anything that has to do with taxes, really. And that is that every year there are changes in the tax code. And just as our current income tax rates, as we mentioned, are low, they could go higher. Again, if, as you said, if Congress doesn't do anything, they'll go higher. But the chance of Congress doing nothing in any given year on taxes is zilch. Anytime we're talking about taxes, it is... it's my opinion that we sort of have to talk about what we know. And what we know is today and what the rules are today, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Absolutely. And it's probably appropriate to point out here that, I'm not a qualified tax counsel. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a CPA. I'm not an enrolled agent. And so much of this revolves around taxes that anybody out there is considering one should get advice from somebody who really is qualified to give that advice.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Obviously, our listeners know that in all our shows, we're just trying to educate, and they need to do some more of their own research. But particularly in this, when it comes to taxes, if someone were trying to determine in their particular case whether it makes sense to use a Roth 401k versus regular 401k, go into your accountant who knows your situation, who knows what your taxes have been historically, who knows what you're making now, and can actually crunch all those numbers specifically for you in this given your state and your tax bracket in this scenario is advisable.
Right. And we talked about the disadvantages and risks of a Roth 401k plan as compared with a conventional 401k plan. Of course, it has the usual disadvantages and risks of a contributory pension plan as compared with an ordinary taxable investment.
Okay.
Ordinary taxable investments, you can invest in most anything. You can buy all sorts of stocks, and who knows, maybe you would have been lucky enough to put the money into Microsoft in 1987 or to put the money into Cisco in 1990. Unless you worked for Microsoft or Cisco, you probably didn't have that investment option in your 401k. 401k, a SEP, a simple anything like that, you typically can't invest in any stock other than perhaps your employer stock. You usually have only mutual funds in which you can invest. Counting a money market fund as a mutual fund, and they're usually only from one provider.
Right.
And there's also the fact that you can withdraw money from an ordinary taxable investment at any time.
Right.
401k plans do allow for hardship withdrawals, can allow for loans to participants, et cetera, and that applies to Roth 401k plans as well. But those withdrawals and loans do take time, and the investor may not qualify for a hardship withdrawal.
Okay. So it's the traditional advantages and disadvantages, if you will, of having money in a personal account or an individual account versus having money in any of these qualified plans.
Right. Those don't go away with the Roth 401k.
Okay. Now, what about rollovers?
Well, first of all, let's note that rollovers can go in both directions. So let's dispose of one that's very clear right now. You may not convert an existing 401k account to a Roth 401k account. You can't do that with an existing 401k plan. But just as the owner of a conventional 401k plan can roll it into another 401k plan or an IRA, the owner of a Roth 401k plan can roll its balance into another Roth 401k plan if you change employers, a Roth 403b plan, which is sort of the equivalent of a 401k plan for a not-for-profit organization or a public school system, or to a Roth IRA. And rolling into a Roth IRA may be the way that you get around any concerns about tax-free withdrawals, because as far as I know, the tax-free withdrawal provision of Roth IRAs does not expire. In terms of minimum distributions, I found a website from a firm called McKay Hawkman and Company. I hope that I have pronounced Hawkman correctly, since my surname is frequently pronounced incorrectly. Their website is www.mhco.com, and they say that Roth 401k plans are subject to the same required minimum distribution rules that apply to a conventional 401k plan or to an IRA. But it does appear that rolling a Roth 401k plan into a Roth IRA would circumvent this, since required minimum distribution rules do not apply to Roth IRAs while the account owner is alive, according to IRS publication 590. So there's some murk in this area right now, but it's certainly not the only murky area with regard to Roth 401ks.
Or with regard to the tax code in general.
Well, yes. We hear so many bad things about the IRS that I should I don't like paying taxes any more than anybody else, but I think that the IRS's website, www.irs.gov, is absolutely outstanding. When you think of the job they had to do there, it's an amazing source of information.
Good, and we'll post that in the show notes. I find it really interesting that there are some pretty strong advantages, it seems like, to rolling in the Roth 401k once a person retires or severs relations with their current company, rolling the Roth 401k into a Roth IRA. Because with our clients, when they have regular 401ks and they stop working at a company or they retire, we virtually always have them rolled over into an IRA, as you mentioned, for reasons of having unlimited options, and because there are advantages to having an IRA versus a Roth 401k, and people who want to listen to that in more detail can go to an earlier show that we did where we were talking about stretch IRAs. Jim, I appreciate you coming on the show, and you have a lot of great material that you brought with you that we're going to post links to on the show notes.
Very good.
Thanks for being on the show.
It's my pleasure.
Great. Okay, well, thanks again, Jim. Hope our listeners enjoyed that show on Roth 401ks. Like I said at the beginning, I learned a lot from listening to Jim.
Yeah, really, education is a process for the professionals as well as for the consumer. It's an ever-changing landscape.
We've got some really exciting shows coming up. The next show is going to be a very exciting show.
We're going to have Nobel Prize winner Bill Sharpe on talking about the big lessons of investing. Bill Sharpe's considered one of the pillars or the giants of modern portfolio theory, the people who've laid the groundwork for the widely accepted theories and notions about how we can reduce risk in portfolios and increase return. He brings 40 years of perspective. He's a wonderful teacher. We're going to probably split that show up into two parts because I think it went about an hour and 10 minutes. But we have that show completely recorded and ready to go.
So that'll be, I hope, very educational. Obviously, it was a thrill on our end to be able to have him as a guest. So that'll be two shows worth of material. So that'll be next show and subsequent show.
Right. We also have Bob Greer, who's a senior vice president at the PIMCO Funds, very famous fund group in Southern California, probably third in size after Vanguard and Fidelity. And they've made their name in the bond arena, but they're also pioneers in so many areas, including a set of new funds that deal with the prospect of inflation and higher interest rates, which, of course, are negatives for bonds. So they were looking ahead and saying, gee, interest rates have been coming down for 20 years. Where are we going from here, and what kinds of things can we invest in where people can make money? And that includes the commodity fund, which is our favorite choice there. We've had the show recorded for a while. We're waiting for their legal department to say, yeah, it's okay to air it. But that show is also coming up. A couple of others that we have yet to do the interviews. One is Bob Veras, who is a spokesman, if you will, for the financial planning industry, kind of sits up in the crow's nest and keeps an eye on what's going on in the industry and reports back to practitioners. And I think it would be helpful for our listeners to get a sense of what's going on in the financial planning profession, what's working for the consumer, what are the challenges that the financial planners themselves face, really how are things changing, because it's still a relatively young industry. So I think we'll find ways to make that interesting even to those who are not practitioners themselves. Bob Veras is quite well known, has a book out, and he writes a newsletter for advisors. And you see him at virtually every industry conference, so he's really a guy who's in the know.
Yeah, he's everywhere, and whenever he's at an industry conference, he's got a line of people who want to meet him and say hi and shake his hand.
And he's I guess the word is iconoclast. He's not easily pigeonholed into any kind of category or approach. He's a unique individual. And we also have another guest who's going to be talking about safe retirement withdrawal rates. One of the biggest questions any person faces is, when am I going to be financially self-sufficient and free, and will I have enough to last me for my lifetime? And there's been some important work done and published in our financial planning journal in the last year or two, and we have the fellow who's behind that who's agreed to be on the show, and I think what they've discovered is really valuable for people. There are ways to make sure that it works over time by setting certain rules that you can follow in retirement. So we'll have, again, that information straight from the source.
Well, that's it for this show. Until next time, I'm Jason.
And I'm Peter.
And here's to your success.